Bench Podcast here on a Friday. Tim Benz, along with Kevin Gorman. He's our Pirates beat writer for the Trib. Check out all of Kevin's coverage daily covering the Bucks, and that's been a much more pleasant experience for Kevin. I think everybody involved this year with the way the Pirates are playing. Trying to catch up with Kevin once a week during the course of the baseball season, at least now through training camp. We'll take a look at the schedule once we get ready for Steelers season. But if the Pirates are still playing like this, they're going to be a playoff story by then at this pace. So we'll have to keep it going and have to keep an eye on what they're doing and what's been a fast ascent to 2023. They're 13-7. They're in second place in the NL Central. And Kevin, I think the first thing we got to point out about these Pirates is the biggest, most important move when it comes towards stopping the losing and getting away from being a bad team is to beat other teams that are struggling when you have the chance. They're doing that all over the place, aren't they?
Yeah, I thought you made a good point of that in your column, Tim, about the Pirates are doing what good teams do. They beat the teams that have bad records. You know, they have to start beating the teams that have good records. That's as if you're a good team. You know, that's kind of like taking care of business, is not being the bad team on someone's schedule, but beating the bad team on someone's schedule. And so I think that's the first order of business that the Pirates have done. And what has made this, I guess, probably more enjoyable, not just for me covering the team and them playing the games, but for the fans who are following the Pirates, is that they're having fun doing it. And that's the difference that I see, is I see a group that's going out there and playing the game, having fun, enjoying it, and making the most of every chance they get to get in at bat, to make a play on defense, to have a great starting pitching performance. It seems like it's something that's a bit contagious on this team. And, you know, when you hear Derek Shelton say, like he did after the Rockies win, I think it was on Monday, that it's an overall good team effort. That's something we haven't heard them say much about this team in the past few years, because it was always one part of the game was working and the rest weren't. And that's what we're seeing right now, is that, you know, the starting pitching's working, the relief pitching's working, the bats are coming alive, the Pirates are doing some good things on defense. It seems to be that they're clicking on all cylinders at the moment.
You mentioned in your response there that they've got to beat the good teams when they have a chance. It's still going to be a while before they have a chance. I mean, I know the Dodgers are good, but they're off to a bad start. They lost 2-3, but they still at least got one win against the Astros, the defending champs, but they're even off to sort of a bulky April. The Red Sox, the same way. They got a win last night to at least get to 500, but they haven't played against a team that's over 500 yet. They will when the Devil Rays come up on the horizon in a little bit, but I think it is important for them to win now early, Kevin, because, you know, Andrew McCutchen, Carlos Santana, Rich Hill, like whatever they get out of these veterans early, I think it's acutely important to maximize that before the season gets into the second half and those old bones start to show their age, or frankly, they get traded if this winning does subside.
Yeah, and I think you can't really underestimate the response the way the Pirates have come about since O'Neill Cruz's injury. That could have been something that could have been a very easy excuse to make, is that, well, not only did we lose, their leadoff hitter, a power bat, and a guy who was starting to show signs of becoming a good shortstop. Maybe the most dynamic player on the team in terms of his ability. The Pirates have, you know, just kind of, you know, plugged and played in that regard. And Rodolfo Castro answered the bell. That's last year, you know, when they had five starters on the injured list and had to call up players, a lot of those guys were making their major league debuts and may have got off to a good start. And then all of a sudden you saw these guys weren't ready. You know, you might see them play good for a week. And then all of a sudden the flaws started to show. So that's where it's going to be important for the Pirates in the next couple of weeks. It happened in a time where they had to play the Astros and the Cardinals, you know, like you mentioned, a World Series champion and a defending division champion. And, you know, the Pirates had to withstand that. But the way they've bounced back, and I guess they're against teams that you're expecting them to beat. But, you know, the Pirates were a 100-loss team last year. So I don't know that anybody expected them to beat anyone as if they were the superior organization. But I do think that we mentioned this yesterday, the way he has dealt with just keeping his starters fresh by making sure they're getting rested, you know, every once a game, one game a week or something along those lines, and making sure that he's not grinding these guys down early the way he did last year. It shows that he learned a lesson from last season when they had five starters were on the injured list by May, you know, and that was something that proved devastating to that team, because as much as they responded with some of the young guys, you know, then those guys, when they came back, had to kind of get back into their groove. And it just seemed like a team that was out of sorts all year.
Derek Shelton mentioned the good starting pitching. They've got 10 quality starts in a row. I look at their performance at the top of the batting order in the first inning, or at least their performance over the first two innings of late. I mean, they're really beating up opposing starters the first time through the order, and that seems to be helping their own starters and giving them a little rope and a little cushion.
Yeah, I really like their plan of attack earlier this week against Kyle Freeland of the Rockies, who came in with a sub-1 ERA, a left-hander, not known for blowing you away with his, velocity or anything, but, you know, a guy's a good pitcher. And Shelton called him one of the best left-handers in the National League. And they essentially dared him to throw strikes. And they didn't do what he likes to do, which is allow him to nibble on the corners and then get you to chase outside. The Pirates basically said, we're not going to swing at anything that's not in the strike zone, and we're going to make him throw over the middle. And when he does, we're going to attack those pitches. And that was one of the games where they just jumped on an opponent and ran up the score. It seems like that's something that when you look at the top of the order, and the order has changed regularly, but it seems like with Key Brian Hayes has found his footing as the leadoff batter. And that's been a solid thing for the Pirates.
Not only him as the leadoff guy, Kevin, but also how about that double play he turned in a crucial situation against Cincinnati on Thursday night?
Yeah, it was really an amazing play, and it's why, you know, Derek Shelton has continued to say that Key Brian Hayes is a special player and maybe the best defender on the planet. He has not yet won a Gold Glove, but I could foresee many in his future. You know, the one problem is the guy who's considered the standard at third base is Nolan Arenado. But that play, there was a ball hit into the hole. Key Brian Hayes went to his left, took a little stutter step. I had to watch this in slow motion several times to figure out exactly what he did there, but he took a little stutter step to get his timing right. And then after he caught the ball, kind of fell to his knees, but was able to pop back up, like using his feet and his knees, but never really got planted and throw the ball, made a perfect throw to Ji-Won Bae to turn a double play. And that proved to be a really valuable play. At the time it was 4-0. And you thought, okay, really nice play. You know, the Pirates would allow one more run in the seventh inning and then two more in the eighth. And, you know, essentially Key Brian Hayes saved a run on that play. And if he doesn't, we could be looking at a tie game, Pirates possibly going into extra innings again. And so that was one of those plays that we've come to just appreciate, that this guy does this on a regular basis and makes them look routine. But when you watch it in slow motion, you see just how skilled he is and just the degree of difficulty that it required, and how he makes those, you know, difficult plays look routine, and the routine plays look like they're second nature to him. Like that there's never really a hiccup anymore with him. And so that's probably one of the most enjoyable things about covering the Pirates is watching Key Brian Hayes play third base.
Kevin, they got Keller going tonight against Cincinnati. What have you seen from him so far, and where do you see things going forward for him on the mound?
There is just a night and day difference with Mitch Keller in terms of the way he handles adversity and in the terms of the confidence that he brings to the mound for the Pirates. This is a guy who is, you know, a year ago we were talking about how he was throwing 100 miles an hour in the offseason, and it looked like, you know, Mitch Keller rediscovered his fastball. And then he kind of developed a sinker and slider approach. And really now he has a six pitch mix that if he wants to use it, I mean, he doesn't use all six at one night usually, but he has a lot to dig into. And I remember when he was coming up and, you know, Neil Huntington was saying, this is a guy who needs a third pitch. And now he has six. So we've seen him develop a repertoire. We've seen him develop the ability to bounce back when he has a bad inning or when he has, you know, gives up a home run or gives up, you know, early runs. This is a guy who has, you know, some moxie to him now. And that's the biggest development to me that I've seen in Mitch Keller, is that a guy who, it was always one good start, one bad start. And sometimes one bad start was followed by another bad start, but we never saw any signs of consistency. And now I think you might be looking at the Pirates' most consistent and most reliable starting pitcher they have.
Heard a lot of people make the analogy between this team and maybe what we saw in 2011 or 2012, where there was a hint of what was to come for the next 3 years, which were all playoff seasons. In fact, Andrew McCutchen sort of played around with that analogy himself during his reintroduction press conference after he was signed, and I think he said he felt like this team was potentially ahead of that. But one thing I'd point out, though, Kevin, for Pirates fans before they get too optimistic is those teams also got off to really good starts and then fell apart. I mean, the 2012 collapse was epic. The 11 analogy might be a little bit more one that holds water, but still, that was pretty bad after the All-Star break and maybe even started to wobble going in. So the Cruz thing that you mentioned to me is also interesting, the fact that they haven't gone in the tank immediately after he got hurt. But that's one where I feel like maybe over time there's an erosion, because even if Cruz wasn't going right, he's the kind of guy that pops a three-run homer for you because he gets into one, or maybe only halfway gets into one, and all of a sudden the game's fortunes are changed.
Yeah, you know, it was funny when I saw that the Pirates' 13-7 start was off to their best since 2002, when they also started 13-7. I wanted to see what the 2002 record was, and they won 72. So they went 72-89. And so it's kind of one of those things. That's a reminder that this is a long season. It's a reminder that things, that your fortunes can change rather quickly, and they can go downhill very fast in the game of baseball if you don't have the depth. If you endure some injuries, or if you endure some guys who go into major slumps. And so the Pirates are susceptible to all of those things. I think, and I asked Kevin Newman this yesterday when I had a chance to talk with him in the Reds dugout, was what was missing from last year's team? And I said, how much has Andrew McCutchen brought to what was missing? And he said, that's what we were missing, was the veteran leaders who could kind of reassure the team that, hey, we've lost a couple games, but it's not the end of the world. We'll win again. We'll figure things out. And if you remember last year, I think they had a 9-game losing streak, an 8-game losing streak, a couple 7-game losing streaks. This is a team that when it got on a slide, or when players got in slumps, they didn't have that veteran presence to help them figure out how to get out of it, to tell them to stay into your routine, stay true to what you know, don't try to change everything. Or if you're going to change everything, tinker, but, you know, remember who you are. And I think that's what Andrew McCutchen and Carlos Santana bring to the position players in the batting lineup. And I think that's what Rich Hill brings to the pitching staff, as the guys who say, trust what got you here. This is why we've been in the majors for 14, 15, 19 years in their respective cases. The thing that the Pirates don't maybe have coming up this year is an O'Neill Cruz, a major difference maker in the minor leagues, who's going to come up and set the world on fire when he gets here. And it took Cruz a little while, but I mean, you know, in 87 games, the guy had 17 homers and I think 54 RBIs and was breaking Statcast records on a seemingly weekly basis. They don't have that guy who's going to come up and so in some regards, that could be a good thing for the Pirates, because what I've seen from the past decade is they were always looking for that next prospect to come up and kind of be the savior, be the guy that turns everything around. I think they realize this is going to be a group effort, especially without O'Neill Cruz. And I think it's kind of forcing every guy to carry their weight. And that could be a good thing for a team long term, is that all these guys realize, hey, they need my bat in the lineup. They need my glove in the lineup. You know, they need me to have a quality start here. And it seems like everybody's doing that right now. So I'm curious to see how the Pirates handle their first test of adversity. You know, I'd be curious to see if they can pull off of their first 5-game winning streak under Derek Shelton, if they can beat the Reds. But I'll also be curious to see how they handle, you know, getting swept by someone or losing a series decisively, and whether they can bounce back from that, because I think that'll be a real truer test of their character.
Looking forward to potentially a Saturday night off here with this monsoon that's supposed to come through tomorrow.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. You know, we haven't had, you know, too many of those. So the thing about it is that to me is, you look at this team and they're playing games quickly, and they're playing games, you know, as you wrote, efficiently. And that's kind of been what's interesting is how this team has adapted so well to the role changes. And it's something that they foresaw, that they last year they had Kyron Madison, who was their AA manager in Altoona last year. They brought him up to the majors at the end of September and allowed him to kind of coach their staff on here's what to expect with the role changes. And you're seeing a team that is aggressive on the bases. We're seeing a team that is attacking pitchers. We're seeing a team that you know, seems to be handling the pitch clock. You're not seeing a ton of pitch clock violations. And so how they handle the weather adversity could be a good one, because, you know, when you have stuff like that happen, whether you have a rain delay or whether you have a rain out, you know, all of those things affect a player's routine. And even, you know, even Brian Reynolds, is the hot start that he got off to, when he lost O'Neill Cruz as his leadoff hitter, I think he lost seeing some of the pitches that Cruz was taking. And there was an adjustment period for him, and it seems like he's kind of getting back into his groove now that Hayes is hitting in front of him. But there was an adjustment period there, and so I'm kind of constantly watching for those types of things and seeing how guys respond to adversity. I mean, the great story, and Justin Guerrero did one on him today, is Jack Sawinski. This is a guy whose home road splits were terrible last season, and Derek Hilton, which I thought was kind of comical, said, well, if you take out that 0-for-29 stretch, his home road splits weren't that disturbing. I'm like, oh, if you could take away an 0-for-29 stretch, you know, a guy who is barely batting 200 is all of a sudden batting a lot better too.
Yeah, it's like Steelers fans talking about the games before the bye. If you take away the first half of the season, they were great. Yeah, they were.
Yeah, so, but I mean, just to see a guy like Jack Sawinski not only figure it out, because he was really struggling, but to figure it out on the road was a promising sign. And I'm always looking for things like that, is, you know, who's making adjustments, who's adapting, and who's coming through and surprising us. Because when Jack Sawinski's on, that raw power that he has is impressive. It's as impressive as almost anybody on this team, save perhaps O'Neill Cruz. But, you know, all of a sudden you got another power lefty in that lineup. And they can't just say, okay, we got to get through, you know, the Hayes, Reynolds, McCutcheon, Santana. Now you have to worry about Sawinski and Connor Joe, and there's a lefty righty combo there. And so I like some of the additions the Pirates have made. I'm just curious to see when it's time to bring up some of the young guys, whether they're ready to play. The good thing is the Pirates aren't necessarily counting on them. They're going to be nice additions, but they're not going to be people that are looking at and saying, okay, he's finally here, we can finally breathe and we can start to win. It's going to be more like, hey, come in here and learn how it's done, and then we'll see if you can help us win.
All right, Kevin, enjoy the weekend, and we'll catch up with you again next week, all right?
Hey, thanks for having me, Tim.
All right, Kevin Gorman, Breakfast with Ben's podcast, talking Pirates. They got a weekend series the rest of the way against the Reds. Make sure you check out Kevin's coverage and the coverage from Justin. I'll also have something on the Pirates on Monday as well at Breakfast with Ben's. This is Trib Live.